Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
I'm not worried about this terrible world that my kids are being raised in. When I can see him, y'all with me? I fix my eyes upon the hill where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I got to transcend my vision. I got to gain some altitude over what is going on around me. A couple months ago, I flew over this town, perhaps you've heard of it, Marion, Indiana. Everybody heard of it? I flew over it, and you know what? Looking down at Marion, it looked beautiful. The sun was just starting to come up, the sun was just going down at sunset, and all the lights were just starting to come on. The roads were so organized. Flew over Indiana Westland, and there was a band concert or band camp going on over the football field. I'm like, oh my gosh, look at this. Within 5 seconds, I'm over Marion High School. My gosh, within 10 seconds, you're past the whole thing. You're just like, whoa. And it was the size of my thumbnail. It felt manageable. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is easy. Right? And when you're able to gain altitude and see the situation from a different point of view, all of a sudden you're like, give me 36 hours. I can fix Mary. And while it may not be necessarily accurate that in 36 hours, but at least I feel like I've got some perspective to re-enter and to come back down and say, okay, I see this thing. I've seen it from a different view. It can be beautiful. I've seen marriage from a different perspective. It can be beautiful. I've seen my kids being raised from a different viewpoint. I've got a different vision. And now, whenever I come to the Lord, the Bible says in Philippians 4, instead of coming to the Lord freaking out, I come to him with prayers of thanksgiving. With gratitude in my heart, Jesus, I thank you for my kids. I thank you that you have brought you've put a burden in my heart to ache and to carry the concern for my children. And with thanksgiving, thank you, Lord, that you've gripped my heart. And so, God, I just want to pray and believe this for you or whatever. God, I know that this is going on in my business right now, and I don't know what the future has, but I know that you are good and that you are for me and not against me. And while I don't know what the future has, I know who holds my future. And so I come before you. Thank you, Jesus, that you're with me. Thank you that you have not abandoned me. And I come with a heart full of thanksgiving, and it transcends all the whining and complaining that I could live in. And there's a lot of it, and it's probably accurate. This person did that, and I don't like this, and this isn't fair, and all that. You're right. It's not going to get you anywhere. I've got to go higher with it. In my heart, in my mind, in my perspective, I've got to go to a different place, because doing all this isn't working. It's not working. So maybe the Bible is right, that I need to come before the Lord and pursue the heart of God and live in the presence. Live in the presence of God. Live in the face of God. The second P that I have to live by is people. I got to have the right people, the right voices speaking life into me. And if you don't, we need to audit those relationships. I'm not just saying cut people off. All right, you're gone and you're gone. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying the access that their voices have into my head, into my heart, I need to make sure I put a filter on. There's a buffer there. I'm going to protect my mind. That's what the Bible says, Philippians chapter 4. We just read this in verse 7-ish. The peace of God transcends the understanding. It will guard your hearts. It will guard your minds with Christ Jesus. I have to. And to be intentional, to have some life-giving voices in your head. Sometimes whenever we isolate ourselves, we move from this place of kind of disappointment and despondency to depression. And it just gets really dark after a while. And the loneliness can keep me on an island. And I've got to fight to get back into the right atmosphere to have people speaking life into me. The presence matters. And the people speaking life into me absolutely matters. Anybody ever have perhaps it was your grandma that would tell you, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Anybody ever have that mother or father? Or each day has enough trouble of its own. We don't need to worry about tomorrow. It has enough trouble of its own. Did you realize that grandma was quoting scripture to you? That's in Matthew chapter 6. Let's flip there. Matthew chapter 6. And starting in verse 25, it says this. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Isn't this cool? He says, hey, you're navel-gazing, you're staring at yourself. I want to eat, and I want to dress good, and I want this house, and I want this car, and I'm stressed about stuff. And he says, look at the birds. Is that wild? He says, lift your eyes to the birds that have a different perspective. They see things a little bit differently. Check out these birds. They do not sow or reap. Wow. For some of our farmers, maybe, right? Look at this. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And I'm not here to edit scripture, but if I was able to add one, I would say something like this. Worry doesn't add any time to your life, but it sure takes away time from your life. Literally, and I guess picturesque, it just robs and steals the quality of life. Right? You always kind of dwell and sit in those places. But physically and literally, it can rob life. The stress, the worry, the anxiety chops off years of life, and it can cause all different kinds of heart problems and heart disease and mental breakdown and heart attacks. It can stop your life. Verse 28, and why do you worry about your clothes? He says this, now look at the flowers. So he lifted our eyes up. Now he says, now look at the creation. Look at the flowers. Okay? Look at the Creator, and then look at the creation. See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. I don't know about you, but as I walk past flowers, I never hear them labor. I never hear.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, what are you doing? I'm trying to grow. I'm trying to be beautiful, I'm trying to be awesome. And it says, look at the flower. Have I not just set it up to be gorgeous and to be beautiful? Just come along the way that I've designed this thing, the way that I've created it to be. Let's not get off and do all these other stuff that I haven't called you to do. You're doing all this other stuff. That's why it's all jacked up and messed up. Just come with me. Life will go really well. I'll decorate you like beautiful flowers. Right? Look at the beauty that's going on. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and it's gone tomorrow, and is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? And then look at this. He comes at you, or at me. You of little faith. Could we even say that a place of worry is just to operate outside of faith? The Bible says anything that's done outside of faith is sin. We got to get our hearts back to say, Jesus, I am so banking in you. You are my one thing. My hope is in you. Hope is the anchor of my soul. And I'll put my faith and my trust in that God, that he's for me. You'll see me through. You will. You will see me through. He has not abandoned us. So do not worry, he says again. He says it four times in this scripture. saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. Or we could just say, sinners. Those that are not, they don't have the heart of God. Pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father, He knows what you need. So seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This last week, Megan sent me an article on gratitude. Andrew has this article, and he posted it to the Fairmount Friends Facebook site, and would encourage anybody to get on our Facebook and read this article. But it says that there's scientific studies that are being done now that says gratitude has the ability to change the internal atmosphere of us, where it can kill stress and worry, and actually kind of cleanse the heart and cleanse the soul. It also has been showing that the heart sends signals to the brain that can reshape the neuro pathways in our brain. What's going on in our heart? And I'm not just talking about the blood pumping muscle. I'm talking about the heart as far as the seat of our emotions. The foundational holding house of the emotions in the heart is reforming your brain all the time. And when we're able to put that heart at ease, the brain can shift new pathways on how to operate, because this is the operating system. And when this thing gets peace, reigning and ruling right here, and full of gratitude, and it's funny that science is backing Scripture. It says, come to Jesus with gratitude, and He will put peace to reign and rule inside. Are you kidding me? Science is not debunking Scripture. It's backing it. God's pretty smart. He knows what He's talking about. A couple of these studies here. Scientists have discovered that feelings of gratitude can actually change your brain. This is what the study says. Feeling gratitude can also be a great tool for overcoming depression and anxiety. Scientists have discovered that the heart sends signals to the brain. Every time we struggle with depression, we are constantly encouraged to take prescription medication. When mindfulness and techniques of gratitude actually show more promise. Studies are being shown that people who can count their blessings tend to be far happier and experience less depression. I believe that gratitude is not only a perspective, it's actually a way of life. It's just a way of life. It's a way to live life and to see things. One of the coolest things that I get every day is an email from Joyce Hostetler. And she writes down, in this article it says, either to journal about the things that you're thankful for, or to write letters of gratitude and send those out to people, because you're actually sharing it, but it's down deep inside of you. And you're getting it out. Every day she spends, I don't know how long she spends, but she writes 10 things that she's thankful for that bring her joy. And she sends them out to 100 people of her friends. If you want to get on that email list, it'll be beneficial. But this little, thing, and it's as simple as seeing a flower. I had a great conversation. I saw this person at coffee. Whatever. She just takes it all in and says, I'm thankful. The situations might not change around her, but her perspective going into those situations are totally different. Does that make sense? Right? It doesn't mean that the storm, all of a sudden the storm just stopped, but it means that I now have some endurance in my spirit and a different perspective to get through it, because I know that He's with me. I know that He's faithful. That the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's the thing that will sustain me. Right? James chapter 1, whenever all these trials and tribulations come my way, I've got to come to this place of joy, he said. Count as joy when you go through it, because it's producing something in you that looks like patience and perseverance. He's producing in us when we go through it. So rather than cursing God that He's brought all this trouble, perhaps He's using these things to make us even better. Let's get the mind game right. I know that it's hard. I know we've got to fight for it. I know for some of us, we're really carrying around some heavy anxiety and worry. just think that the presence is the most powerful thing that we have. And science has shown that it's not medicine. That can be helpful in some situations. I'm not discrediting what your doctor maybe has said. I want to back that stuff. But I also want to up the ante of getting in the presence of the Lord and having the right people around to encourage us and speak this life into us. Somebody else also that was super inspiring for me was Carolyn Lowe. Carolyn walked through some hard stuff whenever Kenny was going through his health things, and towards the end of his life, it was heavy. And to watch her walk through it, not perfectly, I don't know, maybe, it looked like it on the outside, but effectively, she walked through this hardship in marriage and the disease with joy. Joy strengthened her. That's what the Bible says. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says that the joy of the Lord will strengthen us and cause us to endure. And he came upon and put this grace upon her. Through it all, she shined. It was beautiful to see. Ralph Waldo Emerson, this is kind of a cool quote. We'll get this picture here. He said this. He said, "Write it on your heart that every day is the best day in the year. He is rich who owns the day, and no one owns the day who allows it to be invaded with fret and anxiety. Finish every day and be done with it. You have done what you could. Some blunders and absurdities, no doubt, crept in. Forgive them as soon as you can. Tomorrow is a new day. Begin it well and serenely, with too high a spirit to be cumbered with your old nonsense. This new day is too dear, with its hopes and invitations, to waste a moment on the yesterdays." Something else that Megan shared Tuesday night when she hosted a trauma-informed care meeting, where she kind of shared about what goes on in our lives when trauma hits us. And if you were here, you had a treat because it was rich. But one of the things that Megan said at the end is, she said, "When I would go in, I would visit with people in their homes." She has worked for DCS for many years, restoring families. And I would go in and see these situations with the kids and the parents that they had. And she said, "I wanted to pull them out of these houses and these homes so bad because of the bad parents they had. Only realizing that the real problem was, what I wish I could do was give parents to these parents so they could have a better example." Could I take that idea into the church and to say, what if we lived a better life and a better story as an example, so that parents of today, citizens around us, co-workers, could see and say, "Man, there's a better way to do it. There's a higher example. I didn't have the best example. I need an example. How do I endure through it all? How do I handle this? How do I have the right people around me?" And I'll tell you, living a better story is better for everyone else around you. It brings all of us up, right? A higher tide lifts all boats. And believe that as we get better, all of us can get better. As we close this morning, what do? I just live with worry. I live with anxiety. I'm stressing about finances. I'm stressing about my job. I'm stressing about relationships. I don't know. All those things. A few of them. A simple one. Come to Jesus with thanksgiving. That's number one. Number two, I think is good, is journaling or writing letters of gratitude, is what this study was saying. But to communicate some of these things of gratitude outside of your heart. Another one, perhaps anxiety is so heavy inside. Maybe it's even depressive. It's a stronghold. Maybe it's gone to those dark places like we talked about, of isolation and depression. Maybe even suicidal thoughts. I would encourage to seek out counseling. Here at the church, we can provide pastoral counseling. If it's really, really deep, we need to look towards some professional counseling, which we can connect you with professional counselors. But we do want to see us move towards freedom, right? And sometimes that happens in encounter with Jesus, and sometimes that happens in walking out long steps with having professional counselors help us find these pathways to freedom. But I do know this: God is good. He's for us. He's not against us. He's not against you. He's not against you. He has not abandoned you. He's not against you. He's for you. And he wants to see all of us walk in the ways of freedom. Would y'all stand with me this morning as we close? Jesus, we thank you that you have not left us to be by ourselves. We thank you, Jesus, that you have not given us a spirit of fear or worry, that you have not put anxiety upon us. This has not come from you. And so we just renounce all of those things that can come upon us, upon our hearts, our brains. Lord, we ask you to liberate your people. Set us free, Jesus. I pray that we would be those that live in the presence of God, that we transfix our gaze, like we sung this morning, we transfix our gaze on Jesus' face. Lord, I just pray for those that they would be willing to seek counsel, and that there would be counsel that would meet them and help set them free. Lord, we pray that we would be a free bride and a free church. And I pray that all of us would live great stories to inspire those around, all for your glory, for the good of your people, for the good of our church, for the good of our community. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.